Good morning. Today is February 3rd, 2022. It's approximately 9:30 in the morning. This is the matter of file Z054521C. It's an application for a conditional use for photovoltaic solar on approximately 10 acres. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing. I'll state for the record a couple of things before we begin. First, this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. I'll also state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, which means no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or an issue which is present in this matter. I have considered issues of bias and conflict of interest and have determined that I don't have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter whatsoever. Again, the county is making a record. That record's available through the county. At this time, I'll ask the county to provide an explanation for participation in this hearing via Zoom. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. I'm Clay Glasgow, planning staff. I'm going to just read this. So bear with me. It's going to take me about a minute and a half. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing is being conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which includes the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. That's Darcy. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you would like to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature or otherwise let us know somehow. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted again and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you can email that to me or snail mail it to planning. I'm going to put up a slide at the end of this meeting, which will have the contact information. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would still like to receive the decision, please provide your email or standard mailing address and we will get it to you. And that is the Zoom script. You want me to just continue on?
Yes, please. And I'll just provide that brief explanation. I'm going to ask the county to begin by presenting the staff report and evidence that the county wants me to consider in this matter. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to also do the same. Then I will provide an opportunity for members of the public to participate in the hearing and provide testimony and introduce evidence that members of the public want me to consider as well. Please proceed.
Okay. Just up front, there are three exhibits have come in which the hearings officer has not seen. These include specific comments from Transportation Development regarding on-sites and roadway issues. We also have a PowerPoint that came in from the applicant. I presume they're going to present that to you in a few minutes. And we have comments from neighbor Mr. Meesh. He is in the audience, and hopefully he will go over those. If not, they're in the record, and the hearings officer will carefully consider those. He has not seen them yet, however.
Sir, I have an opportunity. I looked at the I looked it up on Oxella before, prior to this hearing, and I saw the addition of Mr. Misha's opposition letter.
Great. So. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to very briefly go through the staff report, and somewhere in here I have a – I've got way too many windows open. Give me just one second, please. I apologize. I wasn't quite ready for this. I've got a brief PowerPoint I want to go over just to highlight the staff report. Hang on one second. I may need to get Darcy's help. Got it. Okay, so this is all contained within the staff report. I'm going to go over this extremely briefly. If anybody has any questions on anything from the staff report or any other testimony or just anything about process, please bring it up when it's your turn to talk. That's why we're here, is to transfer information. So as the hearings officer said, this is planning file Z0545-21. Today's date and time, we're on schedule. Things are going well so far. The proposal here is for a photovoltaic solar array, 10 acres in size, on a 41-acre property in the rural residential zone. Project area is shown as comprising approximately 10 acres of the solar generating facility, consisting of panels, racking, inverters, overhead poles and lines, perimeter fencing. The facility will be unoccupied except for occasional maintenance visits. I presume the applicant will get into more detail on the use. As far as some of the basic facts, property is at 17423 South Potter Road. That's between Bradley and Potter Road, north of Redland. Zone designation is RFF5, rural residential. I've got an area map. I'm not sure how useful it is at this scale and on the screen, but here's our property. Here's Redland Road. Sunny downtown Redland right here. This is Bradley. This is Potter. Oregon City's in the upper corner there. This gives a little more detail. I've lit up the subject property. This is a large tract within the 5-acre rural residential zone, 41 acres. You can see the basic use of the property. It's in non-intensive farm use. I believe at the time of this photo, it was in hay. Some of the earlier photos from clear back in the 70s have it in pasture. There's a creek crosses the site here. You can see the buffer vegetation that is listed as a creek of note within the county inventory. There's also some mapped wetlands in the very southern portion of the property associated with that water feature. They appear to be emergent. They're not on the National Wetland Inventory, but Metro picked it up on Title III. It looks like it's the beginning of some wetlands in there. As far as the site itself, as I say, it's about 40 acres, give or take. It's between Bradley Road here, Potter Road on the east. This proposal involves using a 10-acre piece, essentially in the middle of this 40-acre property, for this photovoltaic solar facility. So underlying zone is RFF5. This is a conditional use, and that gets you to Section 1203 of the Clackamas County Zoning and Development Ordinance. That's sort of the overriding, the umbrella section that gets you to other sections of the code. Section 1203 has six criteria, all of which must be met. If the application fails on even one, the application must be denied. If it meets all six, it must be approved. I went through those in the staff report. I'm going to just blow through them really quick now. The first criterion needs to be shown that the use is in fact listed as a potential conditional use in the zoning district, RFF5. In this case, table 316-1 in section 316, the rural residential zoning district, includes as a potential conditional use public utility facilities. And I actually put in a statutory reference there for definition. And this particular proposal meets that definition. This first criterion is satisfied because the use is listed as a potential conditional use. The second criterion needs to be shown that the site itself, if you isolate that in space and time, that this property on its own can support this use based on location, size, shape, other dimensional features, topography, that kind of thing. I went through findings in the staff report, and it's a large property. There's a lot of room to work with. It's generally rectangular. It's odd shape, but generally it's a square. It's located near a plug-in point, a I'll let the applicant explain how they pick sites. The topography itself works because these things work. They don't point straight up. They point at about 23 degrees. And so you can work with topography. So that generally speaking, and in much more detail in the staff report, the site itself can support the use. The third criterion needs to be shown that the proposal is consistent with Section 1007 of the code, and that deals with the transportation network, both capacity and safety. This is a very low traffic generator. I'll let the applicant explain it in more detail, but generally once a month, maintenance personnel may come by, spray off the panels, that kind of thing. And I received comments from traffic engineering a little bit after the fact, but they're okay with the access point. Some slight improvements required, and they're included as suggested conditions. Fourth criteria, number D, needs to be shown that the proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner which substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of those surrounding properties for the primary uses allowed in the zoning district. This is in a rural residential farm forest zone. We've looked at a lot of these solar facilities over the last couple of years, dozens, and this is the first one that we've looked at in the rural residential zoning district. There's a variety of reasons for that. Most of them tend to be proposed in the farm zone simply because land is cheaper and land is generally clear and relatively level in farm zones. This happens to be within a rural residential zone. The allowed uses are rural residential along with farm and forest. So the applicant needs to show and the county needs to be able to find that this use will not have such a deleterious impact on, say, rural residential use that it would make it impossible for neighbors to use their property for that. And I was able to make positive findings in this, and I think this will be a discussion item here in a little bit. Next criterion is it needs to be shown that the proposal satisfies applicable plan policies. A comprehensive plan, that's the big overriding, you know, wish list document from which the zoning ordinance is distilled. I went very briefly through this, and we can talk in more detail. The applicant provides pretty good detail. Chapters 4, 5, and 7 all apply directly. And like I said, I made brief findings into those. Final criterion, this deals with any overlay zones or districts that apply. There are none in this case. It also gets you to Section 1000, either the site development standards. What is this actually going to look like or sound like? And I made findings in the staff report and was able to find in favor of that. I'm recommending approval. I think what we do need to discuss, and Mr. Meech brought it up in detail, is how is this going to impact the neighbors? There's some specific questions I know on glare and other visual impacts. And these are things that we've talked about before on some of the other sites we've looked at. And I'm sure the applicant's going to have a response to that. Told you I was going to be quick. That is it. That is my summary of the staff report. If anybody has any questions, when it's your turn to speak, please ask. And with that, I'm going to hand it back over to the hearings officer.
Thank you. And we're not obviously not done discussing those topics. Thanks for kind of sketching an outline of the issues that we'll be talking about this morning. At this time, I'd like to provide the applicant an opportunity to provide additional information kind of around those topics. And I think especially the one Mr. Glasgow highlighted on impact on the character of what the character of the area is and impacts to it, not altering the character of that area. Let's talk about that too. So I'd go ahead.
Okay, perfect. I might share my screen. I have a quick presentation to go through.
Darcy, come back. Can you hook up Mr. Grogan so he can share his screen? He's got a PowerPoint.
I think you might be able to see it now.
Yep.
Yes.
Perfect. Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you for all being here this morning. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow, for going through the staff report briefly there. I know many of you have seen this this presentation before, so I'll run through it very briefly, and then I'm more than happy to take any questions that you might have also afterwards. This short presentation will just go through a introduction into Sulla Solar, We'll then take a look at our day-to-day activities as solar developers. We'll then briefly touch on the benefits that a solar project like this can provide a local community. And then the following slides will then go through the application itself. And then we'll finish off with a introduction into the Oregon Community Solar Program. So Sulla Solar are a solar development company that are based out of Portland. Our day-to-day activities include identifying suitable sites. We acquire grid connections with the local utility, which in this case is PGE. We then go on to agree lease contracts with landowners, and then we obtain land use and building permits, which is the stage that we are currently at. And then for certain projects, we subscribe them into the Oregon Community Solar Program. And then obviously we go on to construct and operate them. So I'll just briefly touch on how we identify sites as a solar developer. Unfortunately, you can't just put these projects anywhere. There are a number of factors that need to be taken into consideration when locating one of these projects. The first factor being the grid infrastructure in the area. So the project must be within a close distance to three-phase distribution. We look for sites that are within close proximity to a substation, which is the Redland Portland General Electric substation, just down the road in this case. And then we also look for an area that has sufficient energy consumption within the area to support the increase in energy or electricity that's generated. Following on from finding an area that has sufficient grid, we then look to sign a lease option with an amenable landowner. And then on that, we then look for a suitable location on the property then from a permitting perspective. And the factors that we can take into consideration there are wetlands, floodplains or wildlife issues. We look for sites that have independent access, which this one has. We also look for sites that will produce minimal to no visual impact. And if there is visual impact, then we look to provide screening where possible. And then we look for sites that are in adherence to all county and state codes with the aim of showing that the project won't substantially impact any of the surrounding land uses. So just before I go into the project itself, we usually touch on a couple of the benefits that a project like this can provide a local community. So a project like this one would provide approximately 40 jobs during construction. It can generate up to $20,000 per annum in tax revenue for the county. Having small generation facilities such as this one can provide local energy security as it reduces the dependency on transportation of electricity. And then I will touch on the Oregon Community Solar Program, but a project like this can help to reduce local consumer bills. And then when you compare a project like this one to other developments, it is quiet, it's low in height, and it's a relatively passive project. And I know from speaking to a number of the neighbours I think there was a proposal for a subdivision on the property from a different party. So when you compare a solar project to a subdivision, then it's a relatively benign development. So then the next few slides are just going to look at the project itself. So the project is located 1.5 miles away from Redland, so a mile and a half northwest of Redland, and it is located in the northwest portion of the property, which is zoned rural residential farm forest 5, and the site itself is approximately 41 acres in size. So as part of our standard planning permission procedure, we conduct a public outreach program which entails sending out or mailing out letters to neighboring properties to allow them to reach us directly with any concerns or issues or questions that they might have. We also presented at the local CPO meeting on January the 5th, where a number of local neighbours were present, and they voiced their opinions and also asked questions. And then from the letters, we received a number of calls from interested neighbours, all of which we answered their questions, and some of which we also committed to working with before construction in order to reduce visual impact. So we've made commitments with those landowners. So from a permitting perspective, there are a number of positives for this site. So it's in proximity to the grid infrastructure that runs down South Potter Road, as I mentioned earlier on. This is obviously very important. We don't feel like the introduction of the project will provide any negative impacts to any of the allowed or permitted uses within the area. And then we feel like we have provided a sufficient setback from the wetland that Mr. Glasgow mentioned previously, and there are no floodplains or wildlife issues on the property. The next couple of slides will then go through the application submission itself. So Appendix 3 inventoried all parcels or portions of parcels within 1,000 feet of the subject property. All uses and common access points were inventoried, and the aim of this was essentially to show that the project will not significantly change any of the uses that are allowed within this or our FF5 zone. We also included a soil erosion and compaction plan in Appendix 5, and this essentially details how soil erosion and compaction will be minimized before and during operation, in order to by implementing a few best management practices. And then we also included a weed control report, which details the weeds that have potential to occur on the site itself, and it also includes the best management practices that a suitably qualified biologist provided with us that can be implemented before and during operation. On top of these previously mentioned documents, we also included a National Wetlands Inventory map. We also included a floodplain map, a agricultural pest plan, an NRCS soils map, an example of a previously submitted landscaping plan, a property deed, and then also a construction schedule. I just want to point out also on the neighbourhood outreach programme, I do believe that there were comments submitted, I believe it was last Thursday, which I've had a chance to go through, and I'm more than happy to work with any neighbour, as we have been in the past, to appease any concerns that they may have. We don't, as a company, we pride ourselves in our public outreach programme, and we don't want to just put this obtrusively into the area without getting input from the local landowners. So We're an amenable company that are open to working with anyone who is interested in getting involved. And then finally, the plan with this program is to, or the plan, sorry, excuse me, the plan with this project is to submit it into the Oregon Community Solar Program. And briefly, this is just a program that was launched 4 years ago. And it essentially allows anyone in the Portland General Electric service territory to subscribe to a portion of the project, and they will receive a reduction in their electricity bill. And essentially the goal of it is just to provide solar benefits to those that may not have suitable land or roof space. So our plan with this project is to submit it into that program. And then to conclude, we feel like we have appropriately selected a site. Our submission was deemed complete by planning staff. Mr. Glasgow issued the recommendation of approval last week. We feel like we have satisfied all county and state criteria. And at this point, I would ask if anyone has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. I would also ask after those questions that Mr. Blount, the landowner, might say a couple of words as well. Thank you for your time.
I typically would have the applicant finish. So would you, did Mr. Blount have a statement to make before we open it up to the general public to provide input into this? And then let's have a question and answer period at the end.
Okay. Sure. I think that's probably the best way to do it. I think we can ask Mr. Blount to take the reins.
Okay. Yeah. I was present at the CPO meeting, and some of the primary concerns were about visual impact and currently, it was already in the planning, and starting next week, we will be planting 3,500 trees on the hillside on the southeast or southwest corner of the property, which will eventually eliminate visual impact. The current trees along the creek limit visual impact to, you know, more than 70% of the project site. If we need to do other plantings to help reduce visual impact, we're certainly willing to do that. As Edna has mentioned, we made sure that we left a greenway for wildlife passage through the area, and certainly adequate setback from the creek as required. And the remaining property, we're actually looking to eventually convert into basically a community access area, but we haven't finalized the plans and applied for permits on that yet.
Thank you, sir. Let me clarify where exactly, I missed it in my notes, the 3,500 trees on the property, what was the location?
Primarily on the southwest corner of the property.
Okay.
That area was logged just prior to us purchasing the property. And we finally got approval from the County Extension Service. And starting next week, we'll be planting trees.
Amanda, could you put up the site plan again, that one slide from your PowerPoint? I have a question on that.
Yes, of course. I can do it now. Just let me share it again.
Yeah, I think it's slide 10.
Okay, slide 10.
Well, there are just something with a site plan, because oftentimes, like I say, we've seen a lot of these, and sometimes they include a perimeter roadway. This doesn't appear to have that. Am I right? You've just got the hammerhead?
Yes, we have the hammerhead, so that will allow...
Okay.
That will allow access and a turnaround point.
And this 10-acre patch of solar panels will be fenced. Will that be site obscuring fence? Will it be chain link? I'm just curious.
So that would be, it would be a mixture of both. So it would be a chain link with site obscuring mesh that is hung off the fence.
And can you show us with your cursor where these trees are going? Just so, because I'm not quite sure I know yet.
So I believe Mr. Blount is talking about, well, the southwest portion. It would be in reference to this section here.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
The reason I'm asking these questions is because we've worked with Sula Solar before, but with Sula, they've all been in farm or forest zones where we don't have to directly consider impacts on residential use. So this one, we really need to look carefully at how's this going to impact houses and, you know, people's, you know, hanging out on their back decks and that kind of thing. So I'm just trying to get you to highlight what you're doing. The fencing is helpful. The lack of perimeter roadway will keep cars just at the very front.
Yeah, I know. I know that following on from the CPO meeting, I think it was after actually we sent out the mailing, the mailer to the local neighbors. The property owner of these two portions here, who mentioned that they would be affected most from a visual impact perspective because they are looking down over the site from a height. And we agreed to work with them in order to put a line of trees essentially along this perimeter to reduce the visual impact. And I know that landowner was happy with that as a result of the conversation, and we will continue to work with that landowner to ensure that those go through. I know from the far side, one of the reasons why it is located here is that we wanted to basically push it as far back from any of the properties on South Potter Road. So hence why it's kind of tucked away up in this corner. So visual impact, I know it was definitely taken into consideration when we designed this, and we're more than happy to work with any of the neighbors or anyone who is concerned about visual impact to take any mitigative measures to reduce it.
Okay, and from a standpoint, I mean, this is the ultimate inert use. Once it's there, it literally just lays there and soaks up the sun, right?
And essentially,
these aren't solar reflectors. These are solar collectors. They're very dark in color. Their job is to absorb light, not to bounce it back out. But exactly. there is some glare, however, right?
Yes. So I know that we provided a study we provided reference to a study in our application, and I know that it is referring to standing at the same height as the solar panels themselves. So as you do get higher, there is a slight increase in glare. I know that obviously these solar panels are designed to absorb as much light as possible rather than reflect it, given that's what they use to generate the electricity. There will be minimal glare as a result of this project.
Okay, thanks.
Is that Mr. Blount's statement? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
I'd like to provide an opportunity for members of the public to participate in this hearing. And then, as I said, we'll go back to an opportunity to ask and answer some questions, I think is appropriate.
I have Eric Meesh.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Hey, Darcy, is it possible for me to share my screen? And am I on video or not?
You're not on video. As an attendee, you only have audio capabilities.
All right. Well, that's cool. Well, I wouldn't mind seeing you guys, but whatever works the best. So can I share my screen?
No, you cannot.
Can I email something to you? I have a quick presentation, so I think that might be useful.
if you want to email it to Clay,
yeah, I can do that.
Real part quick. Of the record, and the hearings officer will see it.
Because it just might be handy to have the visual.
That's fine. Just send it to me, and I'll put it up on the screen, and we can go with that way.
Good. All right. Bear with me a second here, Clay. I got to find your email.
Yeah, I got to open my email. So.
All right. Sorry, everybody.
No problem.
Oh, that's why I didn't open it. Man, that's a lot. God. Okay.
All right. I got your email. I got my file. All right. Just sent that, Clay. You should have it. I just thought it would be easier to, share my thoughts in a logical manner. So while that's coming in, let me do a brief statement of introduction about myself. My name is Eric Mache. I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of Oregon. My specialties include in mechanical engineering and environmental engineering. And I have about over 5 years of professional consulting experience. So that's mainly plans and specs, reports, stamp drawings, facility development. But I have a fair amount of experience in code review, ordinance review, following laws and standards to protect the public, which is what the Charter for Engineers is. In addition, currently I am employed in for a larger scale, a little bit bigger company than Sula Solar. It's called Avangrid Renewables. They're a U.S. developer and owner and operator of large-scale renewable power plants. So I have a fair amount of experience with solar plant development, especially here in Oregon, writing contracts, specifying equipment, solving problems, et cetera. So I'm reasonably familiar with these facilities, just at a little bit bigger scale than what Sulis is proposing. Great. And there's my quick statement. So let's just start. So that's a quick introduction on me and my professional background. And the other thing is I've lived here about 30-some years. So I'm a long-term landowner. This is the site plan we've been looking at. And what I did here with this presentation for the group is really just recap the email I sent. I'm not going to go back through and read all that. There's no need to do that. You guys can read. I'm trying to clearly articulate my points and my concerns. I did not attend the CPO meeting, so I missed that. So I just wasn't aware of it. But if we can just go back, Clay, you can see my property on the previous slide. So the little green star on the left is my property. And then, of course, you can see this site we've been talking about. So I'm basically due west and at the same elevation as slightly above the property. All right, let's keep going. And then I just wanted to touch on the high points here of the email I sent to Clay. And it sounds like, everyone's got that. So that's good. What I did is I tried to take my perspective and logically go through the ordinances. The points on Section B are more minor. I don't know if I'd call this an ideal site in my professional experience. Most of the sites that my company develops and that I've seen in my professional experience, and I have been working about 10 years in renewable power, they're mostly on flat ground. So I know the applicant asserted it was ideal and flat. Those are maybe nuanced points with respect to whether they can do this or not. But I don't know if I concur with that. The main point to me, though, this slope is having an effect to me on the impact of my property. Taking information directly off the drawings provided by Edna's team, there's about a 38-foot drop from east to west of this site. And in areas about a 10 to 15% slope. And that slope is kind of coming at me. And the concerns I have is that's going to impact my visibility of the panels. And you can see down there in point three, we've been talking about it. I think a key distinction to me for the hearings officer and the county to consider is this is one of the first projects in a rural residential farm forest 5-acre zoning. So most of these are in EFU and timber, and appear to be on flat land. And then we can kind of continue here to the next point. So really, I think my main concerns come and be, and it is not, let's say, black and white. It is somewhat subjective whether this is going to alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that would substantially impair. And then I went to the dictionary on these things because it's not a defined term. So diminishing the quality of the primary of the property for the primary use. And a key thing is, I think that rural residential farm forest residences is a primary use, and that's a distinction from timber and EFU, where most of these plants are. And the fact that it's on the slope, you know, and I've got some pictures that follow, but I think I'm going to see most of this from my backyard, my house, you know, main spots on my property. I don't care about the bottom of the field. I did study other projects where people were complaining because they would walk their dogs by somebody's solar farm. In general, I do support these facilities. I am in the industry also, as Edna is, but it's the visual impacts and the fact that, you know, the pastoral nature is a key feature of living here, rural residential farm forest and in this area. So that's what I'm asking the hearings officer and the county to consider. So as we go on, go ahead, Clay. This is just a view directly from my backyard. So the green grass in front is my actual lawn, not my pasture, my lawn. My house is on the right. That's the living room. And then the green field in the slight distance there is the proposed location. And you can see it's kind of got a gradual slope down to me. So, you know, I'm going to get a fairly good look at this from my yard and my home. And as I kind of commented, you know, it's the pastoral views, I think, are really big factors with this type of property and where I think the impacts are. So let's keep going to the next one. This is just another view from another room inside my house. You can see there it's just directly visible from the west. Yes, it is somewhat screened. It's not fully screened. This is winter. It might be a little better in the summer, but I'm kind of nervous about this slope. So this is from one of my bathrooms in my house. And I think I've kind of touched on all these key points, so there's no sense in belaboring them at this point. It's kind of big. And then, you know, other points made by the applicant is, you know, oh, there would be no glare. You know, I hear a little softening in that statement from this, from what Edna's commenting. You know, I guess I would look, if you're really going to say that in the application, my request would be that you back it up. Okay, there's going to be no glare. Well, then see to it that there's no glare. And then you'll see, I did do a field trip, but, you know, I looked at the definition of glare in the dictionary, trying to be thorough about this as my engineering background. And to me, that impairs my house for how I look at it. That's a bit of impairment for my primary use. And I did look at the map. You know, my home's about 370 feet. There's panels down below me at about maybe 350 feet elevation. And then you can see the next page. I did do a field trip because I try to, you know, be thorough. I was researching the codes and also just looking at a neighboring site. So I believe this is the Springwater facility. It just happens to be one close to my house. So I basically just did a drive-by over a lunch hour. And this is on flat ground, just driving by, not looking for trouble, you know, glare off the panels. And, you know, this is a flat site too. So, and there's nothing around. So I find that this is out in, I believe this area is zoned EFU. To me, rural residential farm forest, that level of glare, I don't know if I like it. And this is just looking at the edge of the plant, not from above or not on a sloped ground. So these are my main points for consideration. And, you know, the commentary here on the right is just some of the commentary I saw in my research. You know, the reflection's not so bad. It's like a pond or, you know, anything like that. And personally, I don't agree with that from a residential perspective. And then, of course, my professional experience, most of these facilities are kind of out far away. Certainly the big ones my company works on, they're out more in the middle of nowhere and connected to larger, higher voltage distribution systems, you know, hundreds of thousands of volts. And just with all the tilting of the plane. So anyway, keep going here. Thanks, Clay. And then the other, the comments about, hey, we're going to have the natural vegetation strips and we're going to screen the site from all neighboring properties. I think we just heard the applicant in say, well, you know, we're working on it. And that's nice. You're planting the trees down below in the swale. I think that's a positive development. That doesn't quite help me, I don't think, as we talked about when we were looking at the map just a few minutes ago. And, you know, the slope, I keep coming back to the slope because I think that's a problem. I think the slope's going to impact the glare. And to me, the slope makes it harder to screen, and you're going to see more of it because it's kind of like it's tilted up on a plane. So, you know, to me, to give an effective screen from that westernmost part of the project, you know, you're going to need trees 50 feet tall. And I'm not sure if that's makes sense or maybe that's something that we can talk about. All right, you can go to the next one. And then this just kind of gets into kind of fire concerns. I know these have come up on the projects. I do have experience with plants that my company owns and operates. We have had fires at the plants. Nothing's gotten too crazy out of control, but the aftermath of September 2020, we all know were pretty significant. And this subject property had a pretty nasty fire on it that caused a bunch of people to be evacuated. So I think, to me, I saw the commitments about weed control. I really didn't see anything there about committing to FireWise, NFPA FireWise standards, which is kind of like a common benchmark, to keep the grass down. Also, you know, the wattles are a challenge. And let's go back to the first page, Clay, with the map. Those dark lines that you can see, and maybe you can move the cursor to them, Clay, are these wattles, which kind of help keep water flow going. The black lines with the dots on them, it's a little kind of erosion protection thing. So I'm just not sure how you're going to mow around that. Then the panels are kind of going east to west. So I think that's just a factor. I don't think that's a huge factor in the application, but it is a consideration. And, you know, having almost had my house burned down, anything we can do to mitigate fire seems prudent. So let's go back to the page you're on, if you don't mind, Clay. Can you go up one maybe? I'm not sure if we were done with that one. Yep, I think that's good. Let's go to the next one. All right. So one more down. Thanks. So, and then these are just some other considerations I had. You know, I've kind of made my points and, you know, ask for the hearings officer and the county to consider those, and Sula Solar also with what they might be willing to do. And then, you know, this is a little bit more of a pragmatic look at this. If the county and the hearings officer is going to grant this application, you know, I would look for them to place some other requirements on them. You know, and the first point here is the glare, which we talked about. If you say no glare in the application, we'll then deliver. And if you don't deliver, let's talk about what happens next. I have a lot of experience with contracting, and a lot of this gets down to so what, and kind of putting your money where your mouth is, from my perspective. And then the second point's about the vegetation screen. And that seems slightly challenging given the slope, but we're open to that. And then you can go to the last couple. And then the fire risk we touched on, which should be relatively easy. And then I thought the siting, let's go back to the first point, you know, about the ideal siting. Up on the map. Let's look at the map one last time. We'll be done. You know, you can see here to the right is Potter Road and the edge of the property. And I think there was comments made, well, yeah, we wanted to slide it to the left or to the west to get it away from the neighbors on the road, which kind of pushes it a little bit further down the hill and kind of has more visual impacts on me. So again, you know, I think these are just citing trade-offs. To my professional opinion, the top of the hill is a little flatter, but could have more impacts on the other neighbors as was touched on. So those are my main points of consideration, and I just appreciate, you know, I'm working hard in this process to be objective and request that the county and the hearings officer objectively look at the points I'm making and appreciate the opportunity to speak. So thanks very much.
Of course. I think it's appropriate at this time to give the applicant an opportunity to respond and to the points raised by Mr. Miche. Also, I'd like to ensure that the county makes these two presentations we've just received exhibits. So let's make sure they're in the record. There's a PowerPoint by Mr. Grogan and also this PowerPoint by Mr. Miche.
Yeah, this is now Exhibit 8, Mr. Miche's PowerPoint, and the applicant's PowerPoint is Exhibit 7, and they'll both be uploaded as soon as the meeting's over.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Let's unmute Mr. Grogan and give him an opportunity to respond to the points that were raised.
Perfect. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Miche for his input. It's always appreciated when neighbors give information that's backed up by research and. Obviously, he's well versed in codes in general and also the industry itself. I would like to say that I'm more than happy to work with Mr. Miche after this hearing to work with him on kind of appeasing his concerns. I know the first one would be glare. I do believe just looking at the photos from him that there is quite a significant buffer in between his property and the project site itself, albeit I would be happy to work with him if he has a property line that could be planted with trees. We would be more than happy to provide that to him. On that, there was another point. The other point was about the fire. So fire impacts. I understand it's a massive concern at the moment, obviously, given the most recent fires over the past few years. And obviously, there was one that was localized in specifically on the property not so long ago. And this isn't something that we want to cause. So we're going to work with whoever we need to, the fire department, the Clackamas County fire department and obviously the local fire division in order to make sure that our site is designed in a manner that doesn't increase any fire risk in the area. So I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, I appreciate his concern and I appreciate the points that he's brought up. I would also say that in the CPO meeting, there was kind of 20 odd people who were there. And there were maybe 10 odd people that called me in regards to this, and I've been more than open to working with them. And likewise, it would be the case with Mr. Miche going forward in order to make sure that this project won't substantially impact him as the codes require.
Thank you. Mr. Miche also asserted that he proposed additional conditions of approval. I see that you didn't have an opportunity to review this in advance. What he's asking is some sort of a condition of approval for no glare. I don't know how exactly that would be measured, but... You've addressed landscaping, vegetation strips, a maintenance plan. I actually saw a maintenance plan in your proposal. And you addressed minimizing fire risk. And I think you've addressed why you cited it the way you did. I'll consider the issue of glare here. And I will consider all of the information that was presented here at this hearing, including the PowerPoints that were provided and Mr. Miche's letter and the statements that he also made during the hearing. Is there anything further someone wants to add at the hearing?
I just think on your point with regards to the conditions of approval for the glare, I haven't had a chance to review his proposal in great depth, but I'm sure we would be happy to work on a condition that isn't like entirely subjective. I know that might be difficult to come up with in a matter of minutes on a morning like this.
That would be unfair. I wouldn't ask you to do that.
Yeah, but fleshing something out like that is definitely possible.
Okay. I see we have a raised hand by Mr. Miche.
Let me know if you can hear, guys, hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm on. I don't like talking on mute. That's a popular thing these days with COVID, talking on mute. That's great, Edna. Just, you know, let's hit the rubber meet the road. I don't need flowery statements. I want concrete, substantive commitments that are hopefully meaningful to me and something that you guys are willing to do. But when it comes to planting trees on my property, you know, I'm not the one applying for the conditional use, you know. You guys are. So I think the burden falls more on the applicant from my perspective, should the hearings officer find that reasonable.
I agree, Mr. Miche. I would not impose a condition that an applicant plant trees on a neighbor's property. That's just not appropriate. I wouldn't consider that. I think I don't think he was asking that either. I understood him offering to take on the expense, but
no, that's yeah. Cool. Okay. That's cool. So it just, and I'm glad to work with you, Edna. I don't want it to be,
all right.
More visual, you know, more, symbolic than meaningful. I'm all about meaningful.
What I think is appropriate here as obviously the applicant and the owner, Mr. Grogan and Mr. Plount, did not receive that and haven't had an opportunity to consider your comments in advance of the hearing. I certainly don't think it's appropriate to try to put someone on the spot like that or to ask the county to do something like in this open record period. What I'd like to talk about is leaving the record open for submission of a proposal along those lines to provide the county an opportunity to review that and also weigh in on what a proposed condition of approval might look like here around the issue of glare and give the applicant an opportunity as well. If there's not an agreement on this, obviously I'll just make a final decision on it, but I think it's appropriate to do something around this. I do see the issue. And I think that it's only fair to provide the applicant an opportunity to address that in writing and submit something to me to consider. So with that, 7 days, within 7 days, Mr. Miche, submit a statement around this issue of glare that you want me to consider. It can include, as we're talking about, a proposed condition of approval, an opportunity for the county and the applicant, Mr. Grogan, to review and respond, and an additional 7 days there, and a final 7 day period for the applicant to have a last word. Mr. Glasgow, did you have a comment about that?
Or there's others in attendance. I just want to make sure everybody who has a chance who wants to talk has a chance.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, we got Bill, Lance, and a third one.
Oh.
So if anybody else would like to testify or speak in any way, please raise your hand. Mr. Blunt had his hand up a minute ago. That went down. Oh, somebody's hand just went up. Hang on a minute. Yeah, the property owner, Mr. Blunt, can you unmute yourself?
The only issue I wish to address was around the fire. And the property, the proposed area is currently planted to hay. And so putting in the solar panels actually creates less of a fire concern than just having an open hay field.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I guess that's it.
Okay. So no other member of the public had a hand up. I just want to make sure I didn't pass someone up.
Mr. Miche has his hand up again.
Mr. Miche, I'm just going to ask, I understand that this could become a back and forth situation. I'm going to ask that you make your written a comment in writing and submit it to the record. So what I'm going to do is end the open record. I mean, not end the open record, end the hearing today. Keep the record open, as I've stated, 7 days for additional materials to be submitted, second day period for responses, and a final 7 day period for the applicant to have the last word on this. Is that clear? All right. Thank you all for your participation. I'll look to receive all of the information, including Mr. Miche's proposed condition of approval around glare. And it sounds like he may have an additional comment he wanted to make. I will certainly consider that as well. Then any responses I receive from the county and or the applicant and the applicant's last word. Thank you all.
Thank you.